Hey, what's up? This is Sean from the band Jupiter Styles.
And this is Dave from Jupiter Styles, and you are listening to Sound Sessions.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Michael Heidemann, your host of Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. And I'm stoked today. We have two amazing musicians in the studio, and I just love when Chicago musicians work their tails off and create amazing music and just bring a great load of positivity to the city. And these guys do it better than ever. From Jupiter Styles, we have Sean Newman and Dave Sagan. What's going on, guys?
Hey, good to see you. Thanks for all those nice words.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. I really
appreciate
that.
Of course. So like I was saying, you guys are from Chicago. Where are you from? What's your background? Where are you? What suburb do you guys hail from?
We're from Oak Forest, Illinois. Okay. It's, 30 minutes south of Chicago? 20 minutes?
Yeah, so about there.
Like the city.
We're both from the south suburbs.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a big music scene there when we were kids, so everyone kind of just eventually moved up to Chicago. So
really? There is a big music scene in Oak Forest, Illinois?
I guess that's talking a little bit too big. There's, I don't know, like house shows that we'd go to and stuff. A lot of our friends that are in Chicago bands now, like our friend Namdi Obanaya, who's a really influential person in Chicago now to us. He was from that area too, so yeah, a lot of friends down there moved up here.
Explain who Namdi is.
He runs Super Records, which is a independent record label in Chicago, and he's been making music as a singer-songwriter for years and years and years, since I was a little teenager. But yeah, he does a lot of great stuff. He's always on tour, always making music, always doing stuff himself. He rules.
That's so cool. So what kind of shows did you go to and grow up with? Because I remember when I was going back in McHenry, Illinois, the northwest suburbs as well, and this is very hyper-centric Illinois talk right now. Yeah. A lot of people listen to this podcast, and they're like, where the hell are you talking? But it was always roller rinks and the Knights of Columbus and the VFW.
Yeah, that rules. Yeah. A roller rink would be so sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Dang. A lot of houses for us, and then there was a couple small venues.
Sound Lab.
Yeah, they weren't the best at by any means, but spaces where we could go play music, didn't get paid or anything like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Our friends paid to come see us. And so, you know, it's all this, like, just goofy stuff there. But yeah, a lot of small venues in like strip malls or something, or
occasional pizza place.
Yeah, a pizza place.
You had a pizza place? What was it called?
Papa's Pizza.
All right.
And they had a back room that we halfway filled.
Oh yeah. We'd get pizza though, right?
Not for free.
Like a discount or something? I don't know. Yeah, nothing was ever given to the artist. Yeah.
Really?
Much. Yeah, no.
Come on, Oak Forest.
They were doing it for us.
Papa's Pizza. Probably, they didn't even go for the Johns. They're just like, we're going to stick with Papa's.
Yeah.
No one will know. If no one will make the connection, it'll be totally cool.
Yeah, they just actually just like, it was the neon Papa John sign. They just didn't. John's fire lit.
They just didn't light the sign.
Decommissioned neon. Yeah.
So when you were playing in Oak Forest, what was the first inception of the band? Because Sean, I'm looking at your wealth of bands that you're in right now. Did it start with Rat Boys, or how did you guys get
that's
get
how
start?
I met that's kind of how I met Dave and Julia. Dave and I knew each other beforehand just through music and through living in the same area together. Mm-hmm. And Julia, who Dave and Julia are Rat Boys, and she came from Kentucky, met Dave at Notre Dame. You could probably tell us.
My partner Julia Steiner and I, you know, I've known Sean for a long time. Like, we played shows together in high school.
Yeah, like our very first bands together. Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of years ago, we asked him to play music in Rat Boys to join the band. And so we've been touring for, like, I think 2 years now with Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And that just kind of gradually spilled over to his most recent project, Jupiter Styles. And
yeah, which used to be, I had a band for a long time, like, since we were teenagers. Mm-hmm. I just used to just, like, take songs that didn't fit in the bands I was playing, and I would put them under this name, Single Player. Like, mm-hmm. I would literally, like, put it into a file folder on my computer as, like, Single Player, like the video game.
Yeah.
Mode or whatever.
That and, was your alias at the time.
Yeah. And so, I was like, I never thought this would become a band name or anything. It was just kind of, like, a joke thing I'd put into a file folder on my computer to, like, place all these songs and organize them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would start to play, like, shows by myself, whether it was, like, solo acoustic or with a full band as Single Player and stuff. And I was like, dang, I really like committed to that name when I didn't want to. So just basically switched the name, and like the songs are a little bit like structured different and sound different now because I'm older, I think, too. So mm-hmm. there was kind of like a, almost like a timestamp rather than a name change.
Yeah. I was listening to the album, Be Good. I'm going to edit that out. So okay. I was listening to the album, Be Good. Oh, I have it right here on my computer, too. And, you know, I got this great, great sense of late 90s, early 2000s, just college rock.
Sure,
and
yeah.
then I read about your band, Jupiter Styles, mm-hmm. and somebody had kind of named it an indie-minded emo supergroup.
Yeah.
And I can totally feel that. I was getting the vibes. I felt like I was back at my parents' bedroom. Or not at my parents'. Excuse me. Not bedroom.
Yeah.
Added that too.
I gotcha.
I was in my parents' basement just listening to songs on my headphones, and I got that vibe. Mm-hmm. So is this what you grew up on? What was the influence to kind of find this sound?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff that was just ingrained, like hammered home into my brain over the years, mm-hmm. which is just like pop radio for a long time, which at that time in like the early 2000s and stuff was like Sugar Ray and Third Eye Blind and stuff like that. So
I definitely
that
got
stuff,
those vibes.
Good. I'm glad. That makes me really happy. That music rules, and that like really formed what I thought about like melody and stuff. And then growing up going to shows in basements or pizza places or different houses around the like Midwest and around the like whole country and stuff, you start to get all these other different influences that all these other people had. And so I started to kind of, that started to rub off on me in a way. And so it's sort of a blend of, you know, like all the punk bands that we'd see in basements across the country mixed with this like kind of like early 2000s, like pop radio, like pop rock radio stuff. So mm-hmm. it's, I'd like to think that it's an interesting blend. So
so do you write all the parts, or Dave, when you're rocking out with him, do you kind of add your own influence to really create that great, great mesh of sound?
I mean, they're completely Sean's songs, but I do help out with the occasional lead guitar.
Yeah, I can't play guitar very well, so I depend heavily on Dave to help me out sometimes. When there's a song, Life Like, on Be Good, that we were, when we were recording it, I was just kind of singing to Dave the guitar solo that I wanted. I was like, it should kind of go like this, and mm-hmm. kind of like hummed it, or like poorly sang it to him, and he's like, oh, okay, like this, and just like rips it on the guitar in 2 seconds. I'm like, okay, that's why I need you here.
That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about your guitar playing, Dave. When you're jamming out and getting ready to, I guess, put your mindset into either Jupiter Styles or Rat Boys, is there a place you go to in your head when you're like, all right, this should sound like this, or is it all just the vibe?
I mean, it all stems from the vibe, really. We're just trying to make it raw and rockin'. I think, like, Jupiter Styles, this incarnation of Sean's music is, like, you know, just getting to the root of all those power pop, like, pop radio bands, just making it rockin' and really not afraid to go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reaching to, like, kind of just lots of distorted guitar.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit beforehand about creating the right kind of sound. And I mentioned to you guys that I'm kind of a gearhead. Mm-hmm. I like looking at pedals, and I fall down this rabbit hole of just researching compressors and grunge and fuzz. What kind of pedals, what kind of setup do you use for your sound?
Yeah, I try to just keep it simple and have lots of gain stages. So like just a overdrive pedal, fuzz pedal, and delay pedal for a little bit of bigness, mm-hmm. ambience. And yeah, that's about it.
Cool. Do you have a certain company that you go to find your pedal? Or are you loyal to any of these MXRs? Mm. or
Oh, Sean has a couple of things to say about Alex Sarr. He's an Alex Sarr guy. But I'm always just looking for the deals, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, buying on Reverb or going to Craigslist, you know, or buying from a friend. Mm-hmm. Always looking for the used deal.
Yeah, the MXR ones are really cheap.
You think they're cheap?
Like, no, not cheap in a bad way, but they're like cheap in price. So I'm always drawn to them.
Same here.
I don't have money. So, like, yeah, so I kind of have a couple MXR pedals and stuff.
Right on. So what kind of electronic-wise, what do you use, Sean?
Very basic. Like I said, I'm not very good at guitar. Mm-hmm. So like I've never really focused too much on kind of expanding all the effects that I can use and stuff. So I'll kind of use distortion and just make, you know, that punch louder. Mm-hmm. And then just a little bit of delay and stuff like that, kind of add more effects and mess around with stuff. But yeah, nothing too crazy. Yeah.
Right on.
You might as well just label all the pedals more loud.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you guys play in very, you started out in very small venues and now you guys are moving up to larger spaces. So I guess filling that kind of room is such a, what a great sense you get from going to a show and it being loud as hell.
Sure,
right?
Yeah. Like I saw Dinosaur Jr. once and it was just like the loudest thing possible
because
they just have stacks and stacks of amps, which now that I like have been playing shows and, you know, I'm more involved with like live music day in, day out, that I know that that's totally not necessary at all because you can just mic something. So it's kind of funny to see a band like that and just have these huge stacks of amps and stuff, or bands that have like, I don't know, just a lot of gear in terms of like to make things louder, when it's like, oh, you could just mic it and just bring one amp with you. And it's kind of funny to see that difference between a couple bands, where there's a lot of bands that bring a lot of stuff and then there's a lot of bands that travel in a small van and just pack whatever they can into the back of the van and then they're good to go.
That's a good point, you know, because you look at bands and the bigger they get, they try to make it, you know, you see bands like Fall Out Boy,
or something,
a Chicago band that
it's more of like an image of a stack.
It's
like,
the image rather than like really creating the sound,
which I'm for too, you know. You got to put on a show, you know. People go there for this kind of like image of a rock band too, so I totally get that too if you're at that level where you can afford it. But
right on. So that's a really good point. So you guys being in a rock band that's kind of taking over, like you see your name, you're tied onto all these big shows that I'm looking at right here. You're playing March 6th at Lincoln Hall with the Beths and Bad Hats. Bad Hats, one of my favorite bands of the time.
Awesome.
It's gonna be awesome.
Great lyrics. Great and great venue too, Lincoln Hall.
Yeah. It's
so what kind of image are you guys trying to create or put out? Because you seem very genuine and like Dave said, raw.
Sure. I've been thinking about that more and more. Kind of like, you know, as I'm reflecting, we're writing a new record and recording a new record right now, and kind of reflecting on what do I want this band to mean and what do I want these songs to mean and stuff. And I've been kind of thinking that maybe my purpose is to show that, to kind of bridge that disconnect between people going to shows and like that are big avid fans of music, and they kind of look up to musicians as these giant idols, which is fair and totally, you know, like okay, and, you know, often a good thing. But I think people often forget that people in bands or people that make music are just, you know, like very normal people, or like a baseball player, you know, like Randy Johnson is a normal person and stuff like that. And you kind of forget that stuff. And so it's kind of good now, especially in 2019 with like social media and stuff, you can connect to people, see their daily lives and stuff. And I kind of want to have music and have people listen to the music, but remember that, you know, like I walk to the grocery store and, you know, like I think that's a very important thing, to separate this idolization from the artist and kind of make it known that very normal people are making art too.
Yeah, there's a new wave of rock and roll where it's not like the old 1980s Motley Crue that are on the road.
Like that stuff doesn't happen.
Exactly, like doing cocaine and drinking booze. I was interviewing the band Greta Van Fleet, and who's taking over the world right now. They got nominated and won a Grammy first like year that they're out. And they were talking about eating hummus and just going vegan most of the time.
Exactly.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah. I think people are getting more and more normalized in 2019, which is good because they always have been since the dawn of time. Like everyone is essentially the same person in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. So I think that's a really good positive thing to start happening.
What kind of musicians have you guys idolized in your life? Dave, who do you look up to, or who do you follow on Instagram kind of thing?
I don't know. It changes from time to time, but Nick Reinhardt, Tara Melos, really love them, and they've always been super influential. I guess Frank Zappa, but that was a little bit before my time, but I still, you know, like, appreciate all his music. If he was alive, probably still idolize him. I hate to say that because, you know, artists are normal people with their strengths and weaknesses. Yeah. But, like, yeah, I really like Frank Zappa.
Best name for a daughter, too. Moon Zappa?
Moon Unit.
Moon
yes.
Unit.
And then there's, like, there was another one, too. It's great. Neil Young, like, mm-hmm. still love him and
Absolutely.
Everything he's about. Yeah, I don't know. Just people who aren't especially renowned, but just really, I don't know, get to me.
Yeah. What, do you remember the first albums like your parents put on or your brother or sister put on and you're like, wow, you know, music, that thing, I have to get myself involved with that.
Oh, man. This starts with the classic rock stuff. Mm-hmm. AC/DC, which is a huge influence on us. I mean, quite literally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pink Floyd at my house was like the starting point. Like, that was kind of like the common ground between my dad and I. Like, we both liked The Wall. So that kind of got me going, just got me off the ground. And also, like, encyclopedia clips, like, of different music genres. I love that.
What do you mean, encyclopedia?
You know, like, you have the CD with the encyclopedia, like Britannica 2005, loaded on the CD, and then you go through the articles, and it's like, oh, here's an article on Philip Glass, and you listen to that. It's like, oh, here's an article on doo-wop, and you listen to, like, the one-minute clip of that they have, and I don't know. There's a lot to be discovered.
Wow. You know, that is so funny, because my dad did the same exact thing when, like, IBM and the computers were just getting started in like the early 90s is when I was growing up. We would watch, and the only programs you could use on this DOS system were Encyclopedia Britannicas.
Yes.
So I would look and I'd find clips of like the Hindenburg disaster and JFK.
The worst
and then
things.
The worst things. And for a while, that was all that you could see. But then they started adding music and everything, and you kind of get more and more into it.
They really fleshed it out.
Yeah. And speaking of The Wall, I listened to it from front to back the other day, just like a few months ago, and oh my gosh, is there a reason to be that theatrical on an album these days? Holy smokes, there's like 5 minute skits in between. There was a skit of just like children laughing for like 3 minutes, and I was like, whoa, this band is kind of out there.
Yeah, they're definitely full of themselves to an extent, but I don't know, because. You know,
would you ever want to create an album like that, like a concept album?
Oh, takes a lot of like vision to get it to like really execute it properly. But like, yeah, I would love to think about it at least.
Right on.
But yeah, you know, everybody's done the theatrical thing now, so you're always trying to find something new that kind of bridges the, you know, is this genuine or is this just like the thing I enjoy doing? I mean.
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
Just trying to get the middle ground.
What about you, Sean? Like, when you're looking at people that you are inspired by, who are some of the people that you looked up to?
Yeah, to be honest, like a lot of friends and stuff like that growing up that I was seeing finding ways to make music in their daily lives and finding ways, like right now, finding ways to work as an adult after college and still find places to make music or find time to make music and stuff. So that's really inspiring to like look at them and kind of figure out how to do it based off their path that they've been carving already.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like actual like star musicians, I think like the only person that I would probably have a difficult time talking to would be like Leslie Feist, because yeah, it's like she's just in such an idolized place in my mind, which I know is so hypocritical from what I was saying, but she's just, I don't know, something about her music and her art and everything that she's done throughout her life as a musician has been so inspiring to me that, Yeah, it'd be difficult. So I'd melt and be like, I don't know what to say.
If you could ask her one question, what would you want to ask her?
Oh, gosh.
You get a moment with Leslie Feist.
Adopt me as your kid.
That's so cool. So when you were getting started and you mentioned getting from Oak Forest to the city, what were some of the shows you used to go to here in the city that kind of inspired you?
In the city of Chicago, my mom, like, bless her heart, would take me to shows anytime I would, you know, save enough money. Or, like, if there's, like, really nice, if it was my birthday, she'd buy me a ticket to a show or something like that. And we'd see, like, The Hives or, you know, like, shows like that that are, like, clearly rock shows at, like, the Vic or the Riviera or something like that. And there was one show, this band Editors from the UK came over and played, and they played with this band Rah Rah Riot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of those moments where it was like breaking the fourth wall for me, because we got there and we were really interested kids, and we kind of were walking around and stuff and ended up in like the hallway where all the dressing rooms and stuff were. And we were like, kind of ran into Rah Rah Riot, who was the opening band, and they were like very nice to us because we were clearly kids, like probably like seventh grade kids or something. And then we met the guys and Editors and stuff like that, and it's like, oh, we just saw y'all play this like crazy show that I would never believe I would be able to talk to you, and you're talking to me like a normal human being, and I'm like a little kid and you guys are adults. So it was like, that was one of those things where it kind of like was normalizing that gap for
me
too.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What about you, Dave?
Beat Kitchen shows
were
like so amazing when I was, you know, 15, 16. I really, especially nowadays, I don't like the huge crowded theaters, but, you know, small shoebox venue like the Beat Kitchen or Sub T, like, I could go to a show every night at a place like that. Remember I saw Owen like after like a record release show there. Just seeing like jangly emo bands in basements when you catch wind of, you know, who's coming through town. That was really special because you're like, oh, I caught it. Like, that's not going to happen again.
There was this show, this band Algernon Cadwalladr came through, and some of those people play in, like, Hop Along and stuff now. This band was, like, a jangly emo band that played in a basement in Chicago, and I was definitely in, like, early high school when this show was happening. I don't know how old you were, late high school?
Oh, yeah. I was talking about it in my, like, art class.
Yeah, I took the train up to the city to go to this show in this basement somewhere in the city. I don't remember where it was, like, near Congress Theater or something, and there's videos on YouTube of this show now, and every couple months I'll find out a new person that was at the show, or I'll meet someone else who's like, oh yeah, one time I was at this show and it was Algernon Cadwalladr at this basement. And it's like, okay. And you can like literally like go to the video and freeze frame it and see all these different people who are in all these different bands or involved with the music community in some way that were at this show. And there's a couple of shows like that from growing up where, like, at our friend Namdi's house, there's a show where you pause the video and start circling people and just kind of be like, whoa, all these people are in one room at one time, and we're all kids. It's insane.
That's why. That is so wild, because you see how tightly knit the music community is.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
It starts because we all kind of grew up together in different places, and then, like, you meet a bunch of other people who grew up together in another part of the suburbs or different part of the city or from a different city that all moved here together and stuff, and you kind of start bridging those communities together and stuff, and it's really cool the way it's, like, knitted together, like you said.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I remember when I lived in the suburbs as well, and again, sorry for being so hypercentric, but at the time in Chicago, in the suburbs, bands like Fall Out Boy, The Academy, October Fall, and all these.
The Academy is. Yeah, that was a huge band to me growing up too.
Well, they used to be called The Academy, and then they had like this big switch.
Sure.
And it was like a big deal for everybody in the music community because we're like, oh man. This is changing up because they're getting too big now. They got to change the Academy is, and it was like all these great Chicago bands that all of a sudden blew up bigger than you would ever imagine. Mm-hmm. Like seeing Fall Out Boy, I keep mentioning them, and I feel
sure,
like
but
dork,
I mean that's a gigantic worldwide international band that came from the suburbs of Chicago.
Came from
it's
the
kind
suburbs
of insane
of
to think about that.
who played at, I remember I would see them at the Tower Records in Schaumburg. And I was, and I knew that they were going to be big, but I thought they were going to stop at like, you know, their, you know, the band Bayside. They have a cap of like their diehard fans, and no matter what of they course, do, they can do no wrong. And I thought that was going to be, or like the yellow card cap.
Yeah, you can always do like a solo acoustic tour to like loyal fans.
Or Get Up Kids or something like that.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And now they're just like, they're just too big for school. So so it was cool to see that like great Chicago community all come together and then like push themselves forward. Do you have any bands like that who you've kind of taken under your wing, or maybe have put you under their wing and that are kind of like helping you out in the system at the moment?
Definitely not under my wing. I'm definitely being carried by friends right now. But but I don't, there's plenty of bands that you I don't, it's weird to sometimes like realize like you go on like some sort of like, you'll end up on somewhere on Facebook and end up on like a music community page or something, and all these people are like talking about music they like, or Reddit or something, and it's like all of a sudden you scroll onto something where they're just like talking about your friends as if it's like celebrity gossip, and it's like
crazy
weird.
I mean like there's this band Dowsing that's helped really, they kind of taught us the ropes when we were starting to tour years back.
And we were in Europe last year for Rat Boys, and we would stay with people like every single night and stuff like that. And so we were staying, this happened a handful of times throughout all of Europe, that we'd stay with somebody, get to their apartment, crash, get ready to sleep, and they were playing music, and it was on shuffle, and all of a sudden Dowsing would come on, and I'm like, whoa, we're across the world, and like our friends are coming up on your like iPod shuffle or whatever. It's kind of strange.
That's insane. Can we step away from Jupiter Styles for a second and talk a little bit about Rat Boys?
Sure, all directed to Dave.
you just came again. Jupiter Styles, the album is called Be Good. Gotta find it. You gotta spin it.
Thanks.
Where can you buy it at the moment?
Definitely any like sort of streaming place or whatever, like iTunes or Amazon or whatever. It's on all that stuff distributed there. Physically, we ran out of CD copies, but I ordered more cassette tapes. So
that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I was very excited and happy and kind of like honored that it sold out. So we ordered more physical stuff. So you can order it online. I have like a air quote record label that I put out the music through, otherworldrecordings.us.
Yes.
It was a cheaper it was a cheaper URL to buy than
Did you hear that they're starting to do emoji URLs?
Really?
Yeah, that's like the new thing.
Okay.
I love that.
Weird.
Pictograms.
Yeah, that's perfect for Dave. He loves emojis.
What emoji would you have as your URL?
Dot poop.
Okay. That's probably like $1 million URL right there.
That smile is
contagious.
You
could probably just delete the rest of this interview and just use that part. Everyone will know exactly who we are.
DaveSagan.JupiterStyles.poop.
Well, you got to listen to the album. It's one of the albums that you can just spin the entire way through and just enjoy every single song, which about damn time that a band does that.
Appreciate that.
So you just came back from Tokyo. Right?
Yeah. Sean and I,
holy smokes,
with Rat Boys, we were in Japan for 10 days. It's amazing. Yeah, definitely going back there at some point.
What was the inception of going to Tokyo or to Japan? Was it in Tokyo? Or
was it in Japan? Most of the trip, and then went
Tokyo,
to Nagoya,
Osaka, and Nagoya. So we did like 3 days. We just like built this relationship with our friend Sunihiro, who runs this label out there called Friend of Mine Records.
Bless his heart.
Sunihiro.
The nicest man in the world.
Amazing. They just kind of reached out to us when we were putting out our record GN, and, you know, knew our label, and, you know, we're kind of loosely connected. Met him at a festival in the States when they came through. And also our friend Hajime, who plays in this band Firewood Project. We met all of them at Fest in Gainesville, Florida, and just kind of got the gears rolling. They're like, hey, we like Rat Boys. Like, Rat Boys is kind of successful in Japan. And we're like, really? I have no conception, like, no way to visualize, like, us being, like, popular in Japan. And it got to the point where it's like, yeah, y'all should come over this year. Just organized it and really surprised us. Like, just Tsunehiro and Hajime just booked excellent shows for us. And it was really, we were so lucky to have done that and be able to do that.
So what was the turnout like? Are we talking sold out shows? Were they singing along with your songs?
Sometimes, yeah. I don't know.
Wow. I think there might have been a few lyrics.
Yeah, and it was kind of strange to think that, you know, and it's kind of weird to, like, be like, oh, okay, that's, you know, they're singing the songs that we play every single night or that Dave and Julia wrote and stuff. But then you think about it and you're like, oh, if a band that I listen to and, like, even if I just kind of know them, were coming from Japan and playing in Chicago, of course I would go see them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, yeah, there was, I don't know, kind of a lot of interesting and really heartwarming moments where you'd meet somebody and they'd be like, oh, I flew here from 6 hours away to come to this show. And it was like, holy crap. Like,
man,
I walk to the grocery store and I play video games sometimes when I'm bored. You know, like all this like stuff where you start thinking about like, I'm just an idiot. Like, why are you flying?
But that's the thing. Like, this might be the only time that they get to see your band.
Sure,
play.
That's what I was saying. So it's like, wow. When you think about it, it makes sense. And of course I would like, you know, I would make an extra effort. I would drive to Cincinnati to see a band from Japan or something. Mm-hmm. You know, like I would do the same thing they were doing. So it makes sense. But it was very, very heartwarming and reassuring too.
What are the fans like in Japan? What's the difference that you found from the United States to being all the way across the other side of the planet?
Oh, people are very polite.
Yeah, extremely polite.
Like they stay quiet. They bob their head and dance around, but they don't talk over the bands at all.
Yeah.
They wait till you say, this is our next song, and then they start clapping.
Yeah.
Wow. Are there woos, or is it just like, slow?
Yeah, people are like very excited. Yeah.
But yes, they don't spam the woos.
Yeah. I was prepared because I really like professional wrestling, and also have like worked like covering professional wrestling and stuff like that. And so there's a huge wrestling community in Japan, and then obviously one here in the States and North America. And in North America, you see the people freaking out over entertainment stuff, and like Dave said, talking in between stuff or on their phones and stuff like that, like not paying attention sometimes.
Yeah.
And then if you watch a professional wrestling match in Japan, everyone's quiet, and then like a move happens, and there's like, you know, they like just slowly clap like you were talking about. So I was like, okay, that's how it's going to be. And it was like generally kind of like that for music, like you said.
Yeah, people were just in the moment, not really focusing on anything else, anything in their hands. They're just watching us, and it kind of weirded us out.
Yeah.
I really loved
it
too.
Yeah.
After the shows, what did they say to you guys? Was there a long line for people for pictures? Did you sell out the merch?
Yeah, it was nice.
People generally like autographs. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Selfies?
Yeah, I started thinking about that too, because I was like, oh, everyone's kind of moved away from autographs in the States and go to selfies now.
Yeah.
That's like the new autograph. But
I mean, it makes sense too, because, you know, like you were saying, Sean, if a band from any other country like comes through to Chicago, has awesome merch that I want to buy, this is the only, probably the only chance I have to see them here, so I'll get it signed. Why not?
Also played with like the most incredible bands I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
And they had, I was thinking about that because their merch displays are like Waffle House menus or something where it's like laminated and you can like look at it and pick what you want and
very
then you're like,
well,
okay, here it is. And then we're like there with like scraps of pieces of paper with like Sharpie written like, this is $5.
Oh, that's the way
it's kind of funny.
That's like a pure just rock band.
Yeah.
Just, with the little frilly, the ripped out pieces of
paper
and everything. And
it's
then
cool
there
to
it's
see
like,
them professionally taking care of business.
Jeez. Is there a band that we should check out from Japan?
Yeah. I'm lucky enough to say friends now, this band Lucy 2, two as in T-O-O, is an incredible band. Hopefully will one day come over to the States. This other band, Regal Lily, who on Spotify and everything, it's written in Japanese. So it's hard to kind of look it up, but mm-hmm. you can find it if you look hard enough, or Regal Lily.
Regal Lily.
Yeah, and then our friends, the Firewood Project, and Falls.
Yeah, they were awesome too.
They,
our friend Hajime from the Firewood Project, like they toured with us. Mm-hmm. It was Firewood Project and Rap Boys, and we saw them play every single night, luckily, and it was amazing.
We got shown up every night.
Yeah, seriously. They're so good.
What a gnarly adventure going all the way to Japan with your music.
Yeah,
you're playing music on a guitar, and you get to sing a song, and you get to travel all the way across the world to do it.
Yeah, it's wild. And like it was awesome because our friend Danny Lyons came with us too, who I grew up with playing music. So did Dave. He's also from Oak Forest. Mm-hmm. And he was a drummer in Rap Boys for a very long time. And obviously Julia was there too.
Yeah,
Julia Steiner, who is Rap Boys with Dave. And so it was awesome to be, you know, fly into Japan and like get off the plane. And you're like, I'm here with like three of my best friends that I've had from making music. And mm-hmm. we're all the way across the world to make music and play music for people. It was kind of a surreal 10 days for sure.
How do you send your gear over there?
Oh, another thing about Japan.
Yeah.
Japan
rules.
They really make it easy for you. Every venue has their own dedicated backline that's pretty much the same wherever you go.
Yeah, which mm-hmm. is awesome.
You know,
amps and drums.
Yeah.
Gear-wise, they have one Marshall amp always, one Fender Twin, and a Roland Jazz Chorus. So,
this
you know,
is just
take
like
your pick.
At the venue.
Like everywhere?
At the venue, on stage venue. And like ready for you to use. So like the local bands that we'd play with, local quote unquote, you know, huge bands in like their communities and stuff, mm-hmm. they would just walk to the show or take a train to the show or something like that and just use the gear that was there.
With
just
their guitars.
That's
guitars.
Nothing like anything in the United States or the UK or anything. You know,
I guess some in New
places
York,
have, yeah, yeah.
In New York City, like, you could just bring your guitar to a show and, you know, that's how you do it.
But the gear's always beat up. And
I was going to say, everybody in America will beat the shit out of the stuff. And then to be like, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
It's rock and roll.
See ya. It's like, okay, thanks, dude. Yeah. In Japan, it was very easy. So we got to, like, borrow a lot of gear from the venues. When you go to, like, Europe or something, you have to, like, rent instruments there. I mean, we bring our guitars and stuff that we can carry and mm-hmm. stuff that's kind of more personalized, like a guitar and like pedals and stuff like that. But like we would rent a drum set and rent amps and everything, and we'd have to rent the van and put it in the van and drive it around and be responsible for all that stuff, where it becomes very, very stressful. Because mm-hmm. then you're like babysitting items for a month, you know?
It's like, oh, these are the tools I need to work, and if anything happens to them, I'm screwed.
Yeah, and I have to pay for it. Yeah, so it becomes like a huge stress. But in Japan, it was super easy.
Right.
They make it super easy. It's like a heaven on earth. The place rules.
I would never, I guess I wouldn't even think about that, to be honest. That's a really cool aspect of traveling and playing overseas, I guess.
There's a lot of logistics to figure out.
Yeah.
So you guys have all these great moments in your careers so far, and your young careers. You guys are like, what is it, 25? And then
I'm 26. Yeah.
And you're 26.
I feel like I'm older than the earth.
You got a lot of miles, obviously, underneath you, and a lot of inspiration to draw from, which is great. What has been like some of the more exciting or moments in your career where you're like, holy crap, we're making it with this music that we're creating?
Sure. Anytime I pay rent, I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
That's like another month where I was able to do this, you know, because it's nothing's long term, especially in the field that we're working in right now. And we all work like other jobs as well that are in the same realm, where they're just kind of like freelancing positions or things that aren't really like, you know, we're not getting like a salary or like mm-hmm. working towards a 401k or anything. So it's like, if we can make it to the next month, at least speaking for myself, if I can just make it to the next month, I'm cool, you know? So like anytime that happens. But when, I guess to answer your question probably more towards what you were thinking, like going to Japan or going to Europe or traveling mm-hmm. somewhere, or like anytime we play in front of like people that I don't know, because mm-hmm. like we're coming from playing in basements in the suburbs of Chicago or around the Midwest in cities where we know people. So mm-hmm. every time growing up, we'd play a show, it'd be to our friends and stuff. So anytime we're playing to like a couple hundred people that I've never met before and probably won't ever meet before. It's, I don't know, you start to flip yourself into that position of, oh, now I'm in the position of those bands that I would go to see when I was a kid. And so it's kind of cool to step into that role and step into that lineage and history of music. It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, sidebar quickly, before we get Dave's answer. I know your aunt, Jeannie, here at WGN Radio, and we were talking about music one day, and I was, and we were just talking about all the bands that I was going to see at South by Southwest, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to check out this band, Rat Boys, and you know, and she goes, oh my gosh, my nephew is in that band,
That's
and I'm
crazy.
Like, you are lying. And then that kind of spun out into this great conversation about music, but it's true, I mean, you guys are influencing bands all over the world now, and people are from Chicago really are taking and sinking their teeth into your sound, which is must be so nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, so what about you, Dave? What's been like a great moment or in on this adventure you call music?
I mean, still like everything's kind of a milestone. You know, remember the first tour we ever went on was like a vacation, basically 7 days. We played four shows. And then, you know, the first real tour is also like a moment. First time playing like a good show in New York City. Like first time having a full packed room in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that stuff doesn't happen for a long time. And so when it finally did, it just gave us even more energy and like momentum to keep it going. So, I don't know. It's on one hand, it kind of blurs together because we're still doing it. But like on the other hand, like every, you know, basically every other show, every other time we're in a place that we've been before, it's like another milestone. It just gets better and better the longer you do it.
Yeah.
Wow, man. What an amazing, amazing adventure that you guys have been on. And this new album is amazing. Be Good by Jupiter Styles. And check out Rat Boys, too. You guys are doing phenomenal things for the industry, and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
Before I let you guys go, do you want to do a quick speed round of questions that I have written for you?
Sure.
It's the Sound Session speed questions.
Oh, God.
All right, so what was your first burnt CD?
First burnt CD? Jeannie McGrory made it for me. It was just a bunch of random songs because it was before, you know, you could just like get a bunch of different songs. So it was a lot of songs from like the radio, like Sugar Ray and stuff,
nice.
Avril Lavigne and everything. Sorry, I'm trying not to go on too long.
Speed question.
Speed.
Eminem for me.
Which Eminem?
I think Marshall Mathers.
Oh man.
Or the Eminem Show, one of those.
I remember needing to privately listen to that in my bedroom, and I couldn't let my mom or dad know that had it.
Sure.
All right, so coffee or soda?
Coffee for me.
Soda,
every day.
1,000%.
What kind of soda?
I was loyal to Coca-Cola, but I would drink Pepsi too. I'll drink anything.
Brown
seriously,
water.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just give me dirty water and I'll
No one ever can do the Pepsi on top of the Coca-Cola.
Sure. Well, I was
tastes.
Raised on fast food, so like it was like, you know, whatever they had, I'll take whatever cola you got.
How about this? Tying in with it, favorite food?
Pizza.
Shit, Italian beef sandwich. Hot peppers.
Two classic Chicago answers. I wouldn't expect any less. I'm very proud of those answers right now. All right, your favorite venue in Chicago?
Beat Kitchen.
Yeah, probably Beat Kitchen. It's
okay,
a great place.
Favorite venue in the world?
Oh, boy.
Fever in Tokyo is great.
Yeah.
No.
Namdi's
I feel like, Namdi's Pancake House.
Yeah.
Namdi's Pancake House?
Yeah, he would have shows. Sorry we keep talking about it.
No, yeah.
We just saw
Very
him for
important.
The first time in a
Everyone's
while.
Everyone's like Googling been, this
sure,
guy now.
Good, yeah. he would have shows at his house in Lamont, Illinois. No, it wasn't Lamont. Sorry, what did I say? What was this?
Let's obscure history and say
Yeah,
Lamont
is like the worst town. Sorry. I can't think. What was it called? It doesn't matter. So.
Yeah. His pancake house.
Yeah, definitely not Lamont. Super far from Lamont. But he would have shows and he would just make a bunch of pancakes in the kitchen and just like throw them out to people.
Oh, man,
and stuff
I
like
love
that.
Pancakes.
It's just like, okay.
That's so cool.
Just the weirdest.
That's like the New Day on WWE.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
At the waffles.
It's just, it's the original version of the New Day.
I'm a huge WWE
awesome.
Fan, too.
That
so
rules.
We could talk about that after
For
the podcast.
For sure, yeah. That would turn into a three-hour podcast.
coolest person you've met on tour or in, you know, the last couple years with playing music, either celeb or just a random cool person?
Oh, Rick from Pyle is awesome. I really enjoyed meeting him. And also Nardwuar.
Yeah, I was going to steal
Nardwuar. You guys
Nardwuar?
Met Nardwuar?
For a second.
I was too nervous. So I was too nervous to go up to him because I didn't know what to say, which maybe I'll add him to my Leslie Feist list.
Mm-hmm.
But Julia ran up. Were you there too?
No.
Julia ran up and met him and introduced.
Did you guys get interviewed by him?
No.
No, but he was just like waiting for his pass in line.
Sure. Yeah, we were waiting for our South by artist.
He was getting one of those free backpacks.
Yeah.
Really? You met him in line?
Yeah, he was just at like one of those convention centers where they were like, you know, you're checking in, and we were like checking in, and we're like, it was my first time at South by, so I was kind of like flustered and kind of like taken aback by everything. I'm like, oh, there's Dan Harmon, like from Community, and then like, oh, there's Nardwuar, like what the hell?
Did Nardwuar have the golf hat on?
He had everything. Yep. Yeah, that's how we, that's how we knew him.
Yeah, I don't know if I would know him like just.
Yeah,
no, I guess I would.
Just,
I've
like,
seen enough videos.
He has like
now.
A buzzed head or something, and like no glasses.
He was wearing like some kind of like giant overcoat or something.
Yeah, like
sunglasses.
A Miami Dolphins jersey.
Man, I've loved talking. You guys, I could probably talk to you for the next 6 hours and I wouldn't even realize
too.
It. They have their show coming up on March 6th at Lincoln Hall, but you should check them out all over the world. Do you know the dates for South by yet?
Yeah, we're going down March 9th. We're playing in Columbia at Cafe Berlin. Then we're down at South by from March 10th through the
16th.
And then we're playing just a bunch of different showcases down there. You can find it online.
Mm-hmm.
And then March 17th in Lawrence, Kansas at the Little White Schoolhouse. And then we're back in Chicago.
Man.
And we're playing in Chicago. Jupiter Styles is playing April 4th at Burlington Bar with our friends Hikes from Texas.
Man, what an amazing, amazing time talking to you guys.
Me too.
It's Sean Newman and Dave Sagan from the band Jupiter Styles. And Rat Boys. You can check them out all over wherever you find music. Guys, speaking of music, I'd love to hear some songs by you guys. Is that going to be okay?
Sure, we can do it.
Okay, right on.
Cool. All right, hey, we're Jupiter Styles, and this is a song called Baby Steps. It's the last song on our album, Be Good. We're Jupiter Styles. This is a new song called Torch. It's going to be on an album that's coming out later this year.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram.